Grace, mercy, and peace to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, after hearing the epistle lesson for the day, who's just a bit uncomfortable? Or better yet, does it seem like we've fallen back into like 1950s and we're witnessing Archie Bunker's wedding? And the pastor standing there telling his wife to submit to him and him to love her. I'll admit that this language of submission is somewhat offending nowadays. In fact, I'll go so far as to say there was one bride who told me that, "Pastor, you will never read that text at my wedding. After all, it's archaic." And how much more woman hater can you get than wives are supposed to submit to their husbands? Now, if that's what you're thinking this morning, I'm going to borrow the words of Lee Corso, the college game day football announcer, who says, "Not so fast." Someone reasoned that because Paul was not married, and because Paul lived in a time in the world where women were literally characterized as second-class citizens, that, well, duh, he would expect women to be submissive, and he would demand it as well. Therefore, we can simply ignore this text as being outdated. Wives submitting your husbands just seems a little bit old-fashioned now, doesn't it? But then you begin to realize that these are not the words of the Apostle Paul. These are the words of God inspired by the Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul wrote down. And so therefore, they're God's words, and they are words that are eternal. See, God's words aren't like our words. Our words at times have a way of changing, as our fickle desires and our opinions and tastes change, and so therefore goes our word. We just begin to change our minds. But perhaps before we're too critical, we should stop and take a very Lutheran perspective of the text and ask the question, what does this mean? What does it mean that wives are to submit to their husbands? And what exactly does it mean that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church? Oh, and gave himself up for her. But it never ceases to amaze me how selectively deaf we can be at times when it comes to God's word. With that thought in mind, I read a story this week about an elderly man whose hearing had been going bad for a number of years. And his family had kind of gotten tired of him always saying, "What? What did you say? Could you repeat that?" And so he goes to his audiologist. And he's fitted with these newfangled hearing aids, and his hearing is cleaned up to the point where he can hear absolutely perfectly. He comes back to the audiologist a month later for his checkup to make sure everything's fitting right and he's running things properly. And the doctor says, "You know what? You have hearing that is 100%. It is amazing. I bet your family's really excited that you've regained your hearing." The elderly man looked at him and said, "I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around and listen to the conversations, and I've changed my will 3 times. Have you ever heard that saying, 'I'm not deaf, I'm just ignoring you'?" Well, that's true when it comes to God's word too. We have a way of wanting to hear God when he's saying things that we want to hear. And then when we hear words that are not quite so receivable, like the word submission, we simply ignore them as if they don't apply to us. With that said, most people today will literally plug their ears when they hear God say the word submit. But do you really think that's unique to our generation? In fact, Paul wrote these words to a church in a town called Ephesus at a time when marriages were still arranged. Now consider yourself a 14 to 16 year old young lady. Your father has already picked your husband, and you might not even like the guy. And now the Apostle Paul, by God's directive, says you are to submit to your husband in everything. I think there would be a little bit of chafing involved in that, don't you? Why do I have to submit to him? I don't even love him. However, before we turn a deaf ear to the text, it's imperative that we don't simply ignore God's word. You and I need to take the time to listen to the wonderful relationship that God has established with each and every one of us, and how that is directly impacts the relationships we have with those around us. With that said, the Apostle Paul says the words, ladies, submit to your husband as to the Lord. And gentlemen, you are to love your wife just as Christ loved the church. The Apostle Paul even goes on to say, this is a profound mystery, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and his church. But how often do we just ignore the rest of the conversation? We hear the word submit, our fingers go in our ears, we have nothing more to do with this text, let's just go on. But listen to what God says, submit as to the Lord, love just like Christ loves the church. You see, marriage as God intends it is about not heavy-handedness control or who's in charge or who's calling the shots in the relationship. Not at all. Marriage is not a power play to see who can be the boss and who has to be the submissive servant within the relationship. That's not what marriage is about at all. In fact, marriage is intended by God to be revealing and sharing that all-forgiving, unconditional love that Christ has with his bride, the church, as we walk in faith with him. And as you are married, it's revealing that love. It's revealing that forgiveness to that very one special person that God set apart for you from the foundation of the world. It is an amazing relationship. So therefore, ladies, your command is to submit is not a tyrannical order for you to know your place in the relationship. And gentlemen, that command to submit is not a green light for you to treat your wife like a dog and expect her to acquiesce like some abused puppy because God says so. That's not what this text means at all. Let's look at it from the perspective of the bride of Christ, which is his church, and the relationship that she has with Jesus. Does the church tell Jesus how to do his job? Is the church over Jesus, or is Jesus over the church? Who submits to whom? When you think about it, submission is nothing more than faith and love in action. See, God speaks and we as his bride respond. We trust. We obey. Why? Because God is God, and we know the depth of Christ's love for his bride, the church. He's in charge, and he knows what he's doing, and he's saying and doing these things because he loves each and every one of us. So it is with marriage between a husband and a wife. The husband is to embody Christ in all that he says and all that he does. After all, Christ says, those who hear me hear you hear me. I know this is stretching the text and making a huge assumption, but the reality is there. This assumes that the husband is leading, protecting, providing, and loving his bride, just as Christ does his church. But what if that's not the case within a marriage relationship? What about those times when no one will ever accuse the groom of looking, acting, or sounding like Jesus. You see, gentlemen, this call for submission is directed at you too. And we often forget that. It's not just not for the ladies in attendance. It's also for the men. How can you be a good and faithful bridegroom if you don't first submit to Christ? It's impossible to love like Jesus if you don't first recognize just how much Jesus loves you and forgives you when you rebel against God and His Word. When you are not submissive to His will, but want to live a life according to your own desires. The same can be said of the ladies. The command is to love just as Christ loves the church is for you too. You see, you are called by God to love and forgive your husband when he fails to be the perfect embodiment of Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you that he's going to fall short. I can also guarantee you that he's a sinner just like you are. And God's call for you is to forgive him and love him unconditionally, no strings attached, and no caveats involved. See, the reality is just as Christ loves and forgives you for every time you fall short of His glory, God expects you to love your husband in the same way. But we live in a world where we don't like that very much. Because it's really all about us, isn't it? I recently came across this story about a young boy who loved to play marbles. Now, I know in the digital generation, marbles aren't the thing, but you know, you'd have a bigger marble that would be the shooter, and the smaller marbles that you draw the circle in the dirt, and then they'd take the shooter, and the marbles you knock out, you get a keep, and this kid was good. Man, he had a blue shooter with a little bit of a chip in the side that he could ping marbles out of the circle at will. But he only had one weakness. It was chocolate. And one day he is walking down the street, he sees a young lady with a whole bag full of chocolate. He was thinking to himself, I just have to have it. I have to have it. And so he thought up a plan in his mind and said over to the girl and said, will you give me your chocolate if I give you all the marbles in my pocket? And knowing the value of the marbles, the young lady wasn't an idiot. She says, absolutely, sounds like a plan to me. So the boy digs deep into his pocket and he feels around for the blue shooter that has a chip in the side, and he pushes it to the bottom of his pocket and he pulls all the rest of the marbles out and says, here you go. And she takes the marbles from him and he takes the bag of chocolate and he begins to walk away from her. He takes a bite of that first piece of chocolate. Oh, it was so good. And then he stopped dead in his tracks. And he turned around and looked at her and says, hey, did you give me all the chocolate? Our fallen nature persuades you and me to posture ourselves in the same deceptive, defiant attitude as the little boy in the story. We want it all. We want a sense of the security of God's presence. We want the knowledge that God hears and answers all of our prayers. We want to feel close to Jesus. And we want to flourish in the riches of God's glory. And we want it all. But there are times when you and I are unwilling to give anything up. There are times when we are unwilling to give up the blue marbles in our life, to put ourselves under God's authority, and to submit to His will. But your God has loved you enough that He is even willing to die for you when you are unsubmissive. He's willing to die upon the cross while you are yet a sinner. Christ died for you. He loved you enough to give up all the heaven's majesty in order to take on your flesh. His flesh suffered and died so that you could be redeemed and resurrected to heavenly glory with Him for all eternity. This is what marriage is all about. We are to love one another as Christ loved His bride, the church. Unconditionally, selflessly, sacrificially. Willing to give everything up to submit to the will of Christ as His bride, the church. Now, this morning, as you heard that epistle lesson read, I'm quite sure you were thinking, did I come to a wedding? In fact, the violin music was beautiful this morning. But I heard one of the ushers say to one of the members, the wedding has started, as they were coming in, because we don't get to hear violin music all the time. And I kind of chuckle, I think, if you only knew. The text for the day is actually a wedding text. Ephesians 5 is, I read it at every wedding, without fail. I read it yesterday at Jun 2 Winery for Seth and Cassie as they were married in the sight of the Lord. It is a great text. But too often when you go to a wedding, you're going to hear pastors, even myself at times, simply giving advice. Advice like, never go to bed angry with one another. Compromise on the little things. Take turns going to the in-laws for the holidays and blah, 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 blah. Or my sermon yesterday was just remember to forget. But don't get me wrong, this is all good advice. But these things are not what Christ intended for a Christian marriage to be. The Lord Jesus gives you the best advice of all for your marriage. Note that I said marriage, not wedding, because the wedding only lasts for a day or yesterday in the heat was 25 minutes. But a marriage is intended by God to last for a lifetime. And the marriage you have is always to reflect and reveal the relationship that Christ has with His bride, the church. So keep Christ at the center of your marriage. Keep Christ as the head of your marriage and all will be well. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't struggle from time to time with trials and tribulations. That's why you take a vow when you're married. You don't know what's coming. You know the challenges down the road, 5, 10, 15 years. You made that pledge. Remember the words, for better, for worse, for richer, poorer, in sickness and health. Remember all those words? The promises that you made. In a very real way, a marriage relationship, the bride and groom both vow to be many Christ, loving one another and forgiving one another unconditionally when they fall short of God's glory by their sin. Loving, serving, submitting to each other, and speaking the truth of Christ in love to you when you fall short of God's glory. Now this morning, if you are single or widowed, you're probably thinking, this text really doesn't have much to do with me at all. Well, it kind of does. Because it's not only in a marriage relationship where to display the attributes of Christ, but in every relationship we have. We're supposed to be loving and forgiving to everyone we meet, as Christ is to us. That's a very picture of what it looks like to be a child of God. This morning, I'm going to encourage you to walk the aisle again, maybe in a whole new way. To walk the aisle and come forward, to stand near your groom as He gives unto you His very flesh and blood. For all the times when you and I are not quite so submissive as God calls us to be. And to leave this place with a renewed joy of who you are in Christ. Not only loved, but forgiven. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.